You know, we were talking, Dr. Cutchins, about the importance of, doing 1 Peter 3:15.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate the way you talked us through. You laid that foundation and helped us understand why. You've given us some information about how to put it together. When it comes to actually talking with people, and when I say why, you've helped us understand why we believe what we believe and why we can take our stand and maintain our position in the face of opposition. And that's what it's going to be about a lot of times, opposition. Some of it sometimes coming from even within the church. But when it comes to how to approach someone, or if we are approached, you mentioned earlier, there were people asking questions that you just didn't have the answer for. So it's not just about knowing what to say, but even how to say it. How do we actually defend this faith in a way that pleases God?
Well, I think, you know, you got to look at 1 Peter 3:15, and I'm going to come back to that in a second. But before I do, let me just say this. You know, if you're going to if you're going to have a conversation with another person, it's important that you come across the right way. You know, it's not about who's right. It's about what's right.
Mm, yeah.
Let me say that again. I mean, it's not about who is right. It's about what's right. But so many times, you know, we get into this situation where we're more concerned, and the conversation gets kind of heated or there's a disagreement. We get more concerned about making sure that we defend ourselves instead of defending the truth. And so you got to, first of all, ask this question. Am I willing to fight for what and defend what is right at the expense and primarily do that and then make the defense of myself secondary? Because it's really not about us when we're having these conversations. And so one of the things that I've kind of integrated into the way I have helped and coached people in this kind of thing, and myself as well, is just asking myself this question. If I'm wrong, do I want to know?
Mm.
If I'm wrong, do I want to know? And I think it's a fair question to ask the person you're talking to as well.
Yeah.
Before you engage in any conversation about, you know, your faith or politics or anything else, you know, you got to just hang out there for a second and just say, if you're wrong, do you even want to know?
Yeah.
And what I've found, Carl, is there's a lot of times where Christians, if they're wrong about something, they don't want to know. And they just want to live in their ignorance. And that's okay until they start trying to defend the ignorance. And so you got to make sure that what you're defending is actually a biblical principle. We don't want to get hung up on personal preferences. That's not what 1 Peter 3:15 is talking about. It doesn't say always be prepared to defend the preference that's inside of
that's
you.
True.
It says always be prepared to defend the hope that's inside of you. So, I mean, you've got a lot of Christians, I'm sure, listening to this. And I would just, you know, challenge all of us to really think through, what is it we're really defending? Are we defending what's important to us? Or are we defending what's true about God? So that's the first thing. And then the other side of it is when you're dealing with a person who is obviously not connected with the truth in regard to God and Christianity and the Bible, is that I think it's a fair question to ask them too. We have to be willing to ask ourselves first, right? Mm-hmm. But it's also a fair question to ask the person we're talking with. I never will forget, I was living in Charlotte, North Carolina. This was years ago, and I was just getting into all this apologetic stuff. And these two Jehovah's Witnesses came to my door, and you know, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they believe something different about Jesus Christ than we do. They don't affirm that he's God. They affirm that he's God's son, but they don't affirm that he's God, and that's a deviation from Christianity and from what the Bible presents. So these Jehovah's Witnesses, they're very diligent people. They came and come a knocking at my door, right? And so I had gotten into this habit. I'm not suggesting everybody do this, but I invited them into my house. I try to keep them in there as long as possible, keep them away from my neighbors, you know, and just have a conversation with them. I'm giving them milk. I'm giving them cookies. I'm hanging out with these guys. And one of the most interesting things that ever happened to me, this is where I really got into this, if you're wrong, do you really want to know, was I began to reason with these guys from the scripture. There was two of them there. And one of them was clearly the more advanced in his faith and in their training. Let me put it that way. Yeah. He was more trained than the younger one. And the one that was the younger started talking with me, and we got to the point where he couldn't really answer the questions and even the things in their scripture, the inconsistencies. And so then the more advanced one and I started having a conversation. And he and I were talking, and it was clear that I was able to point out errors in the things that he was teaching and believing about God and specifically about Jesus Christ from his own faith book. And it came to a point, Carl, where I looked at him and he was just had this dazed look on his face because I had pointed out so many inconsistencies with what he said. Now, he didn't know who I was. I didn't tell him I had a doctorate in ministry and Christian apologetics and I'd studied all this stuff. I was just some guy that he come knocked on his door, right, as far as he knew. But I finally looked at him and I said this to him. I said, Carl, I said, let's just say, hypothetically, I was able to point out to your satisfaction, mm-hmm. I was able to make a case to your satisfaction that what you're believing and what you're teaching is not true. Would you leave and would you no longer be a Jehovah's Witness? And he looked at me with just really, I can't even describe the look on his face. He was troubled. There's a troubled look on his face. And then he got real confident with his eyes. I could see, and he looked right at me and he said, no.
Interesting.
I'm too far into it.
Wow.
And we were just having a man-to-man conversation. Yeah. He said, no, I can't. I'm in this too far. And that moment, it hit me that even if he was wrong, he didn't want to know.
Yeah.
Even if he was wrong, he didn't want to know. Because he was so far into what he had believed. And I think as Christians, we have to, you know, take what it says here in the passage that you read, 1 Peter 3:15, it says in verse 13, now who is there to harm you if you're zealous for what is good? Well, we all know there are some people that want to do that. And they said, but even if you, he goes on, he says, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you're going to be blessed. So don't have any fear nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. Christ the Lord is holy. Always be prepared. Always be prepared. Now, let me stop right there. It says, always be prepared to make a defense. Always be prepared. It doesn't say always. It says, always be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have to just pick a fight with everybody about whether Christianity is true, right?
That's right.
Even if somebody challenges us, if they're wrong and they don't want to know, our calling is to be prepared. We don't have to engage in that conversation and keep that going unless you just want to keep them away from your neighbors. It's not your job to change their mind. Mm-hmm. It's your job to be prepared to provide a defense and to be led by the Holy Spirit on how to best do that and when to best do that. Always be prepared. That's an important word, to make a defense. The Greek word behind that is apologia. It doesn't mean we're apologizing. Quite the opposite. Apologia means exactly the way the English is translated, to provide a defense. Mm-hmm. We're not providing an offense. We're not trying to offend people. We're just making a defense. We're always prepared. We don't have to do it always, but we're always prepared to provide a defense to anyone, and here's the key, who asks. You talked about how to do this. You don't have to go out and do this. It's different from evangelism. This is not go and and make disciples as you're going. This is, if you're asked, always be prepared to make a defense. For what? For the reason. The reason. That's your mind, the reasoning. For the hope that you have inside of you. And here's another two key words. Yet, do it with gentleness and respect. One of the most dangerous things that we have with young men, especially, and young ministers, is that they go and they get a little bit of knowledge on how to defend their faith, and they become what I call angry Christians, man. They're just pointing a finger, and they just got the answer to everybody's problems. But that's why he puts these two words, gentleness and respect. You got to treat people with gentleness and respect. Otherwise, you're not representing him who is your hope.
That's Real World How To. Thank you so much for that.
My pleasure.
Dr. Cutchins, how can people get your book?
Well, Prove It is the title of it. It's available on Amazon. You can download it for Kindle, and you can also order a hard copy of it on Amazon. So you can just check it out. Prove It, two words. Prove It, Defend the Christian Faith. The foreword of it was written by my mentor, Dr. Norman Geisler. Yeah. So you should be able to find it. It's got a pretty cool little black cover on it. So just look for that on Amazon.
And it is an awesome book. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Cutchins shared a wealth of information with us in this short period of time. But I want to tell you, one of the beauties about this book is you're not going to have to go through 400 pages of reading to gather the information that he shared with us. The book is roughly 100 pages long. And so you can read this book. It is just as down to earth as his conversation with me was. You can read this book. It will be worth the investment of your time and energy. Prove it. Amazon.com. Dr. Cutchins, again, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. It's a great joy. Thank you, Carl.
All righty. Everybody, till next time.